You're mine.
Hale Barnes Carnival this coming Saturday and Sunday, and part of the headlining acts that are going to be on Sunday night on the 21st. I'm talking to the man now. Yes, Owen Paul. How are you, sir? You all right?
I'm very well, mate. I'm very, very good. Looking forward to it very much.
Well, I've just been doing some research about you.
Oh. Right?
And I didn't realise that you've been doing stuff with Mike and the Mechanics and Simple Minds lately.
Yes, I have. The Simple Minds thing connection is very easy. My brother was the original founding member with Jim Kerr and Charlie Butchell when we were all at school. And then, obviously, when my brother left in the sort of early 80s, some promoter guy said to him, listen, you wrote the songs just as much as them. Why don't you go out and do them? And then he kindly asked me to become the singer. So I became part of an act called XSM, which is like, in effect, means ex-Simple Minds. And that's what we do. We go around the country and abroad. We've done Holland, Italy, Germany, all sorts, and the show goes down very well. And with Mike the Mechanics, I was in the studio next door to Mike Rutherford, and he heard one of my tracks and said, he's very, very English and very posh, he was like, my dear boy, who organised the vocal arrangements on this? I was like, yeah, that was me, Mike. He went, would you like to do that on a Mike the Mechanics album? I was like, excuse me? On Mike the Mechanics album? He was like, yes. So I then did that, and the album came out. It was called Rewired. And then he said something even better. He said, we're doing a world tour with Phil Collins. We're coming on as special guest. Would you like to do that as well? Who would say no to that?
Wow. Wow.
Who would say no? And I hadn't performed in something like 20 years in public. And I went from, you know, doing nothing for 20 years, working behind the scenes. I ran a theatre and all sorts of different things, and a ballroom dancing club and stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm in front of 90,000 people singing The Living Years.
How did you feel?
I can tell you, it was above average. but the thing about it is, it kind of got me back, and it reminded me of the thing that I'd left behind. And from that point, I think that was like sort of early 2000s, so like 2002, 2003, and then all of a sudden I was, you know what, I suddenly began to miss it, and I thought, I should make another record, I should go back out and tour, see how it goes, and then before I know it, I did a random television thing, and all of a sudden everyone thought, hang on a minute, Owen Paul's not dead, let's book him for those retro festivals like Rewind or Let's Rock or whatever, and it's been going very well ever since.
But I have noticed you've not got that hair now.
Well, that's because it's not always possible when you get to our age.
Right, so that song, I want to talk about that song.
Of course. The
obvious song, right? Because
yes.
My favourite waste of time, that has been murdered so many times on karaoke's when I've been local bars around these parts.
But yes.
but also, what's it feel like to stand in front of a load of people and them sing it word for word back to you at these gigs?
It's an absolutely brilliant thing. I mean, I've done a lot of festivals in the last couple of years in all sorts of countries where, like you say, it's a bit like when the sunshine comes out, Favourite Waste of Time gets played on the radio. The same goes for, like, summer festivals. The minute I start singing the first line of the song, you're right, you're absolutely right, 15, 20,000 people start singing it back at me, and then I suddenly realise the importance that it had that I've obviously forgot about, and what it meant to everyone, and, you know, much that many other artists had maybe more hits than me, it got remembered forever, and I think it's going to, you know, my kids are going to be quite happy with the royalty checks for the many years to come.
Did you write that yourself then? Is that your own?
I co-wrote it.
Right, okay, so who wrote it with you then?
Well, basically what it was, I heard it sung, I heard a little bit of the song sung by Bette Midler.
Oh.
But it was written, but then I found out it was written by a guy called Marshall Crenshaw, a Canadian. And then I changed some bits, added new verses, put in a medley, and everyone was okay with that, and then the rest is history. And it's one of those things that, like a lot of things in my career, that when we recorded it, we actually did it in like two takes. And in the 80s, when you're recording, especially bands like Tears for Fears or similar, they were recording for like months on end. We did that in a day.
Wow.
But we all knew right away, we were like, uh-oh, this is something. And, when the boss from my record company heard it, they were like, it's a smash hit, Owen, it's a smash hit. I was like, hope so. And it was.
But it's so catchy. It's that initial euphoric anthem kind of sound to it.
Well, you're right, and as well, because it starts off with the chorus, you're in no doubt of what you're hearing within like four bars. So as soon as I go, you're man, the whole world knows what to sing back.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So there's no, you know what I mean? It's not like some bands do long intros. This song goes straight in, no messing, coming at you. It's got a sunshiny feel, and I swear to God, everywhere I've played it, even if it's been raining at festivals and stuff, the minute I sing the first line, the clouds part as if I'm in charge, and it's suddenly the sunshine beams on everyone. It's brilliant.
So
it's
on
great
your,
to be involved with it.
So on your set on Sunday at the Hail Barnes Carnival, can we expect? Are you going to do that song as it was originally, or are you going to do like a little twist to it? What's the plan?
Well, I wouldn't say that I want to deviate too much from the original version, because that's what people expect, and because I've not been around for quite a long time, they want to hear it like that. They just want to know, obviously they're going to notice that I haven't got enough hair, but but you're going to get that song pretty much as is, except for the fact that there's a long section where they can join in and they can make of it what they will. And then you'll get songs from Simple Minds, as I said. You'll get Michael Mechanic songs. You'll get Peter Gabriel songs. You'll get Robert Palmer songs. It's going to be like an hour or so of absolute gigantic 80s tracks.
Fantastic. Listen, before I leave you, what's the plan for Owen Paul going forward? Are you still recording, by the way? Are you still doing?
Absolutely. And most of the guys like Nick Kershaw or Nick Hayward or Howard Jones or Heaven 17, even, that I work a lot with, everyone's always recording, always ongoing. It's just not, it's maybe not in the mainstream as much as it was in the past, obviously. But yes, I've got a brand new album coming out, which is a bit of a deviation for me. It's a country album called Americanorama, which is a kind of folk Celtic, because I'm a Scottish guy, as you can probably tell, and it's pretty much, without being cliched, me going back to my roots and playing songs as they originally were formed, as opposed to adding, imagine you were like, you could write a song with three chords and then you get rid of the guitar part and you make it into a dance track. Mm-hmm. This time I've decided not to do that, sing it and record it as it was originally heard.
Do you miss the mainstream side of things, or do you think, I can't be bothered with it anymore?
Well, it's not really so much that I miss it. It's just that this time round, it's much better, because obviously all the other acts like Tom Bailey from the Thompson Twins or, Tony Hadley, they're all much friendlier and nicer, because, we've all kind of got over ourselves, and we've all got children, and we've got, the career thing is not so antagonistic, let's say. So it's much more fun now, and the only thing that's better about it is we still get to do big festivals and big shows and stuff, but we don't have the excruciating famous thing attached to it, which gets in your way when you have, especially if you're having private family life. You know what I mean?
So if somebody's listening to this now and they go, yeah, I'd love that Owen Paul, specifically that song, and I know he's had a lifetime in this industry. If they're thinking about, shall I go on The X Factor? Shall I do Britain's Got Talent? What's the Owen Paul bit of advice for somebody that's been there, done that, and still at it?
I absolutely wouldn't do The X Factor or anything similar. I mean, there's no way I would have won that or got any. I wouldn't even got through the first audition, to be honest. And nor would David Bowie, for that matter. I'm not trying to compare myself to him, but, just to get realistic here, Bowie would not have got past that. They'd have said, you're a bit pitchy there, I'm not quite sure you're on point, and all those cliche things that Simon says and the rest of the judges say. I wouldn't do that at all. I would just, do your own thing. Don't follow trends. Stick with it. Forget rejection. Keep going. If you believe in it, make sure it's what you believe in, and it'll come to pass, and it might take a bit more time than normal, but it will come to pass.
So there's no answer to the quick kind of, step up, get on primetime TV, and then you're in?
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do it, because as quick as you're in, you're as quick as you're out.
Yeah. Yeah. Owen Paul, thank you so, so much for talking to me, and I'm looking
absolute
forward to...
Absolute pleasure, Darren.
I'm looking forward to meeting you in person anyway, because my favourite waste of time, I've started my sets in party bars with that. All my career. They all know that when Daz Antrobus turns up, that's the first song he's going to play just to get him going.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you, Owen. Thanks very much.
Absolute pleasure, mate.
The soundtrack to your life. Cheshire's Silk 106.9.